This is John from the FreeGiftFromGod.com podcast. And today I'm continuing on. Last time we looked at God's love. This time what I want to look at is the subject of perfection. And what we're talking about here is we're talking about walking as Jesus walked. And of course, Jesus was perfect. So I want to look at perfection and the possibility of becoming perfected in Jesus Christ. So the objectives today are to understand what perfection is in the sight of God, to recognise the source of all perfection, and to find out how we may become perfect in his sight. In overview, if we are to stand with God and be received into his eternal kingdom, we must be perfect as he is perfect. The imperfections of sin and human passions must be dealt with if we are to receive God's promises to inherit the kingdom with Christ. In this session, we consider what it means to be perfect, where perfection comes from, and how we can learn to be perfected into the image of Christ and the Father. So the first scripture I'm going to look at is in Matthew chapter 5, verses 44 to 48. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you salute only your brethren, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, this is an interesting piece of scripture because in the first section we see it talking about love, the love of God, and how God loves all of the people in the world, the good and the evil. But in that last scripture we see him talk about you must be perfect. You, therefore, must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. As Christians, our aim is to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ, who was and who is perfect in the sight of God. In that transforming process, we are to become perfect as God is perfect. Perfection is about how we think and act and behave. It's about being free from sin and having a mindset that doesn't even consider the possibility of sin. It's about how we think and what we say. And as James shows us later, that the perfect man is the one who has control of his tongue. Perfection is possible, but not by the strength of any person's will. No person can make themselves perfect. We don't even understand the full depth of what perfection is in the sight of God. It's only possible to become perfect through the transforming power of Jesus Christ and the working of the Holy Spirit within. And that's why God has given us the Holy Spirit, to do that work of perfecting in us. And the reason why Jesus Christ came was to establish the way, and that's why he says, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. The next scripture is John chapter 17, verses 20 to 23. I do not pray for these only, but also for those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one even as we are one, I in them, you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. As we are transformed into the perfection that comes from God, we are made like Jesus and like God. We learn to grow and to change and develop the ability to be able to stand in this world as Christ stood in this world. And the world will see this in us. They won't understand what it is, but they'll recognise that Christians are different to others. They'll see this difference in the attitudes and behaviours and actions of Christians. Perfection will be evident in how we relate to others and treat those around us, for we'll react and behave as Jesus did, with humility, with compassion, and with the love of God. In James chapter 1, verses 13 to 17, we read this. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good endowment and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. So what we see here is that every perfect gift comes from God. He doesn't tempt man, but gives perfect gifts so that we can come into his love and into his perfection. There is no perfection apart from God, because it's God who defines perfection and by whom perfection is defined and by whom we know what perfection can be. And we know this through the life of Jesus Christ, who lived here as a perfect man. God cannot be tempted, and he tempts no one. So too, the perfect person does not tempt others, but helps them overcome temptations, just as the working of the Holy Spirit in us and walking in the Spirit helps us to overcome temptations to sin. And again, we saw these examples in the life of Jesus Christ. He didn't come and tempt anyone. He didn't come and condemn anyone, but he helped all of the people on earth, and he does, even right down till today, helps them to overcome temptations through the working of the Holy Spirit in us. So going on from there, the next scripture I want to have a look at is in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22. It says this: "And behold, one came up to him, saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And he said to him, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? One there is who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not kill, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honour your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbour as yourself.' The young man said to him, 'All these I have observed. What do I still lack?' Jesus said to him, 'If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me.' When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." What we see in this is perfection is greater than the law. To be perfect, we must follow Christ. It's not about works of law, but faith and following Jesus, and it's only through these things that we should be made perfect. There is a flaw in the law, not that there's anything flawed in the law, truthfully, but there is a flaw in the law because it shows right from wrong and condemns those who do not keep the law. Now, you might not think that's a flaw, and to be honest, it's not really a flaw. It's just what the law is. The law is there to define right from wrong and to condemn those and judge those who don't keep the law. But perfection, under the grace of God, is not about condemnation. It's about forgiveness. Perfection is not about sin, but the law is about defining sin and condemning those who do sin or who break the law. Perfection surpasses the law because the law is about the flesh, but the perfection God seeks is about the Spirit. That's why he's working on Christians through the power of the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus and the working of the Holy Spirit so that we can be perfect. It's also why he sets us free from the law. A perfect man doesn't need the law because they will not and cannot sin. Now, a perfect man, you consider Jesus Christ, who was the perfect man. He didn't sin. He came to this earth, he lived his life on this earth for 33 odd years, and he didn't sin. And this is what a perfect man does. The way he thinks, the way he acts, the way he behaves, every part of his being, to be perfect in the sight of God, is so opposed to sin that he wouldn't even think about sin as being a possibility. Over in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, we read this: "I appeal to you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I bid everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith which God has assigned him." So how are we to achieve this place of perfection? It's by the renewal of our minds through the transforming power of the Holy Spirit that we are perfected in Jesus Christ. And it's by faith in the death and resurrection of Christ, through whom we have been set free from sin and the law, that this is achieved. Christ established the way for us to be perfect. And by the grace of God, we were given perfection by faith when we believe what God did in Jesus Christ. But to achieve perfection by fact, that is, by how we walk and how we live our lives, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is given to us to basically clean us up. The Spirit helps us overcome the passions, the lusts, the desires of the flesh that lead to sin and breaking of the law. We're already set free from sin and the law, but we are not perfected until we are transformed by the renewal of our mind, which is done through the working of the Holy Spirit in us. So God gives us in his grace the free gift of perfection when he gives us the free gift of righteousness when we believe in Christ Jesus, when we believe that we are freed from sin, that our old sins have been forgiven and have passed away, that have been forgotten by God, and when we are set free from the law. At that point in time, God gives us the free gift of perfection and the free gift of righteousness by our faith, by what we believe. But then the Holy Spirit comes, and his work is to make us perfect in the way that we act and think and behave. Because even though we may have perfection through faith, we still act and behave and think like men of this world. And it's not until the Holy Spirit changes all those things, gives us the victory over sin, gives us the victory over the passions of our flesh, that we can actually come into perfection by fact, perfection by our life, so that we can be perfect men and women as Christ was perfect. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 10, we see this. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful. It is not arrogant or rude. Love does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrong, but rejoices in the right. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For our knowledge is imperfect, and our prophecy is imperfect. But when the perfect comes, the imperfect will pass away. Many of the things that we're learning as Christians and are very necessary in this age and time will pass away. In this scripture, we see that tongues will cease. Knowledge will pass away. And that's the knowledge of the scripture. Prophecy will cease, and so on. Because when everything's been completed and when we're living with Christ, they'll no longer be needed. We need these things now because we're still learning and still being perfected. But when perfection comes, they won't be necessary. However, when we are perfected and when we will be perfect, we will be perfect in love. While all of these other things may pass away, love will not, because it's eternal, as God is love, and God is eternal. Love is the fullness of perfection in God. God is love, and he is perfect. The transformation we undertake in Christ is to be transformed into the image of God's love, and so therefore into the image of his perfection also, so that we can fulfill that scripture in Matthew 5:48 that says, "You must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Going over now into Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14, we read this. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness and patience, forbearing one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Again, what we see here is that it's love that binds everything together in perfect harmony, because love is of God and God is love. So it's by being transformed into the love of God and having his love abide in us that we come to perfection. Love is eternal. Unlike everything else in this life, love is eternal. And love is eternal because God is love and God is eternal. And we see that it's his love. And when we come into the perfection of his love, everything else is bound together in perfect harmony. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 18 and 19, we see this. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment, and he who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. Now, once again here, and we see this power of love, as the scripture here says, fear has to do with punishment. People are afraid of things because they're worried about being punished for what it is that they've done. People who sin are fearful because there is always the prospect of judgment and therefore punishment under the law. But when we come into the perfect love of Jesus Christ and the love of God, and when we are perfected into his love, then all of that fear is cast out. All of that fear is gone because perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. I want to go over now into 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10. He said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I will all the more gladly boast of my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Now this is showing here, Paul is telling us that the power of God is made perfect in us when we are weak. And it's because when we're weak that we have to rely on God. We have to stand with him. We have to come to him. And when we rely on God, it's true that when we're weak, then we are strong. Not because of what we do, but what God is doing in us. When we rest in God's love, when we rely on God, when we lean on him in our times of trouble, when we look to him, when we humble ourselves under his mighty hand, that's when his power, through the power of the Holy Spirit, comes and does the work of transformation in us. It's when he gives us the victory over the passions of the flesh and the temptations to sin that come through the passions, lusts, and desires of the flesh. And so when we're weak in those things, when our passions are strong and we're weak, and we turn to God and we seek him out, and we humble ourselves under his hand, we pray to him, or we speak in tongues, or we focus on scripture, or we meditate on the word, that's when we gain the strength to be able to battle those passions and those lusts and desires. That's when and that's how we walk in the Spirit. And so God steps in, the Holy Spirit steps in, and he takes away those things that are causing us problems and strengthens us and transforms us. The final scripture I want to look at is James chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, for you know that we who teach shall be judged with greater strictness. For we all make many mistakes, and if anyone makes no mistakes in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body also." So here we see James saying, and I mentioned this earlier in this session, it's when we can speak the truth 100% of the time that we will approach perfection. It requires that degree of change in our hearts and our minds so that we can control our tongues and then be perfect as God is perfect. In this world, no man speaks truth 100% of the time. But this is the place where Christ is taking his people. This is where he wants us to be. He wants us to be in the place where we make no mistakes in what we say, because if we can do that, we have control of our tongue. And what that means is if we have control of our tongue, we have control of our mind. We have control of our thoughts. We have control of our passions, so that we don't just lash out blindly when something comes against us. And if we have control of all of those things, then as he says there in verse 2 of that section, the perfect man is able to bridle the whole body also. We are able to be in total and complete control of ourselves because we have been given this perfection through the continuing work of the Holy Spirit in Jesus Christ. So a couple of questions to consider. Can you see now why we need to be perfect? Secondly, do you now understand that to be perfect as God is perfect is to be perfected in love? And thirdly, are you aware that the pathway to perfection is through Jesus Christ, and that perfection is achieved by the working of the Holy Spirit in you? So here's a call to action. Learn what it means to be perfect and seek to find the pathway to perfection in Jesus Christ. Secondly, understand that in Christ you have already been made perfect by faith through the grace of God and have been set free from the law and from sin. You are no longer under sin, under the power of sin, and so therefore you are perfected by faith. Thirdly, seek to receive and learn how to walk in the Spirit so that you can be transformed into the perfect image of God and then over a period of time become perfected in fact. Oh, and I must add, I don't know how long that period of time is. It may take a lifetime. It may take more than this lifetime. We may have to wait until Christ returns before we are completely perfect in the image of Jesus Christ, in the image of God. But if we can get a head start now, then it's important to do this. If we know what the path is and we can start our walk along the path, even if we don't get to the end, we can at least get partway there. And that's important. And it's important for us now in this age as much as it will be in the next age. So here's a couple of prayer points. Spend a few moments in prayer now to ask the Lord to show you the pathway to perfection. Ask him also to show you how the freedom from sin and freedom from the law work so that you can begin the walk to perfection in Jesus Christ. In the next session, we're going to consider those who will be saved into eternal life with Christ. We see that there are two groups who will enter life from the scriptures, and it's important to know that this will occur. And there are some stark differences between these two groups. So in the next session, we're going to focus on the two flocks. So that's it from me for today. I hope that you enjoyed this session. I hope you'll join me again next week with the next session when we talk about the two flocks. So this is John from the freegiftfromgod.com podcast signing off and wishing you all the best, and may God bless you in the coming week. I'll see you next week.